seeing drag being just outright attacked, you know, it being protested. There have been threats, you know, bomb threats on many of these events. There's something that can be done here. That's exactly what directly influenced this type of organization. The one thing that happens when you're attacked is that you feel alone. You feel like this is only happening to you, you know, or it's only happening in your small community, and it's not. You know, it's happening across the globe.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Sao Paulo Pridesters reclaim Brazil's yellow and green, rainbow-clad Thai Prime Minister joins Bangkok Pride, and Drag Coalition creates committee to fight hate. All that and more this week now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Sarah Montague.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending June 8, 2024. The organizers of Sao Paulo, Brazil's LGBTQ Pride celebration say it's the largest in the world, and they may be right. Seen from above, the city's central downtown area was overflowing with hundreds of thousands of people on June 2nd. Aerial photographs show a massive rainbow flag weaving its way down Sao Paulo's major thoroughfare, hoisted by hundreds of marchers. Colorful floats, booming dance music, and fabulously dressed rainbow flag-waving revelers highlighted the theme, all forms of loving, all forms of being. Yellow and green were the primary colors of the day. Pride-goers were urged to reclaim Brazil's national colors from the misogynistic, racist, anti-science, anti-queer supporters of far-right former president Jair Bolsonaro. Transgender Brazilian Congress member Erica Hilton told the joyful Pride crowd, "We will march this afternoon to take back our flag and to show that Brazil will be better. It will be queer, butch, transvestite." Brazil's generally queer-welcoming reputation is just one side of the coin. Just days before the Sao Paulo Pride celebration, far-right Christian evangelical parties in Congress shoved through a bill to ban the use of government funds to underwrite efforts that oppose traditional family values. In 2023, the group Transgender Europe ranked Brazil the country with the most murders of trans and gender diverse people for the 16th consecutive year. Last year alone, Agence France-Presse says 145 trans people were killed there.
Defying local authorities, a record crowd of some 150,000 celebrated Pride in Seoul, Korea on June 1st. Seoul's certifiably anti-queer mayor and the municipal government banned the customary use of Seoul Plaza for the event this year. Organizers say the use of other government-run venues like the Seoul Museum of History were also blocked. Officials claimed they wanted to avoid causing social conflict. Pridegoers ignored the minor social conflict created by a handful of right-wing Christian counter-protesters, with signs declaring no same-sex marriage and the country built with blood and sweat is collapsing due to homosexuality. Despite the difficulties, the parade that highlighted the 25th Seoul Queer Culture Festival took over the Yuljiro, a major downtown area. Revelers carried massive rainbow flags. 61 festival booths featured queer rights groups, global corporations, university and high school student groups, liberated religious organizations, and foreign embassies. The groups Marriage for All and Amnesty International led six other colorfully decorated trucks in the parade. Thousands of rainbow-clad marchers danced and chanted, marriage equality right now.
Thailand's Prime Minister Srettha Thavisin joined other government officials and a crowd of more than 200,000 celebrating LGBTQ pride in Bangkok on June 1st. Clad in a rainbow-colored shirt, Thavisin is the first Thai Prime Minister to speak at the pre-parade rally and participate in the march. Thavisin and his party had made queer rights a campaign promise, targeting marriage equality in particular. Marching under the theme, Celebration of Love, celebrants were especially giddy because a government-endorsed marriage equality bill is now expected to become law. The procession filled one side of a major Bangkok thoroughfare in the city's busiest commercial district. Foreign embassies, local and national businesses and organizations, and multinational corporations had parade entries. Festive floats blasted dance music, drag queens strutted, drummers drummed, and rainbow flags waved. The Thai Senate is likely to approve the marriage equality bill later this month. Then it needs final royal endorsement. That would make Thailand the third Asian country to open civil marriage to same-gender couples, behind Taiwan and Nepal. It would be the first in Southeast Asia.
Voters in Mexico made history this week with the election of the country's first woman and first Jewish president. Liberal former Mexico City Mayor Claudia Sheinbaum defeated a right-leaning female candidate in a landslide vote on June 2nd. Sheinbaum's platform called for absolute respect for diverse gender identities and public policies to eradicate hate crimes and violence against LGBTIQ plus communities because of gender and sexual orientation. She proclaimed, without diversity, there is no democracy.
A Missouri trans man was awarded $4.7 million in damages for being denied access to school bathrooms and changing rooms that matched his gender identity. The lawsuit has been raging for 10 long years. The plaintiff is identified in court documents as RMA. He asked to use the boys' facilities after he had the gender marker on his birth certificate updated in 2014. RMA played on the boys' football and track teams. He said that he was forced to use a separate single-person unisex bathroom outside of the boys' locker room. The stigma soon overtook his competitive spirit, and he stopped competing entirely. A jury originally awarded RMA the $4.7 million in 2021, but the Blue Springs School District in Kansas City, Missouri, appealed. State Appeals Court Judge Anthony Gabbert upheld that original decision on June 4th. Gabbert noted that the district had not actually determined the nature of RMA's genitalia and does not speculate, inspect, or otherwise inquire as to the genitalia of other male students. That, he said, constitutes discrimination.
Finally, a drag queen story time in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, set the Guinness World Record for the largest ever attendance at such an event. Rather than in a library or bookstore, the city's venerable Philadelphia Gay News teamed with the tourism-promoting Visit Philadelphia to hold the historic event at the National Constitution Center. It was the June 1st kickoff for the city's Pride Month. Drag performer Brittany Lynn heads the city's award-winning Philly Drag Mafia and served as MC. Lynn read Hello Philadelphia by Martha Day Shook. Miss Aurora read Twas the Night Before Pride, written by Joanna McClintock and illustrated by Juana Medina. Icon Ebony Fierce read Elmer by David McKee. Athena Chanteuse read The Family Book by Todd Parr. Morgan read Kevin the Unicorn, It's Not All Rainbows by Jessica von Inner Ebner. Drag queen story times have increasingly been targeted by far-right groups, the insurrectionist Proud Boys in the U.S., and similar groups in the UK, Australia, and elsewhere have threatened actual violence against performers and venues. They show no regard for the safety or well-being of the parents in attendance, let alone the children they claim to be protecting. Guinness officials set the bar and were on hand in Philadelphia to count the crowd of 263 parents and kids.
So today, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA, you had 263...
Guinness credits H&M, the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, and Gay Letter with hosting the most people attending a drag brunch in June 2023. 412 people were present for that Pride event in Brooklyn, New York.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending June 8, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazor, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V. Stay healthy.
And I'm Sarah Montague. Stay safe.
Hi, this is Terence Stamp, Bernadette in The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, on This Way Out.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Daniel Lucias, producer and reporter here at This Way Out. It's Pride Month, and we are continuing our special features highlighting LGBTQ+ experiences here and now. This week, Pride is political. We are speaking with Committee, a coalition of drag artists launching a national effort to protect performers from hate. Stay tuned. Drag has been increasingly under attack for the past several years, with GLAAD reporting that at least 160 drag events faced protests or other significant threats in 2022. In 2024, 21 anti-drag bills have been considered in state legislatures around the country. That's according to Stateline. As it stands, two states have enacted laws that explicitly ban drag performances, Tennessee and Montana, though both rules are currently unenforceable due to federal court orders. This so-called drag panic has been building for a number of years, arising in the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, and in so many other countries. This drag panic has manifested in several ways. Rallies and counter-rallies related to drag queens reading books to children, violent attacks at clubs and bars, and online hate. As a direct response to this hate, a committee was formed by Boots and Heels on the Ground. That's Committee with a Q. It's a year-long national drive to build a network of drag artists, fans, and allies to help drag artists respond to hate and navigate the business of their art. From June 2024 to June 2025, a group of organizers and drag artists are embarking on a national membership drive to recruit enough drag artists and members to establish a viable national organization and do some important work in the meantime. Committee currently consists of about a dozen drag performers nationwide who have experienced threats, harassment, or violence related to their artistry. Some performers have experienced a firebombing in Ohio. Some performed at Club Q in Colorado Springs and helped victims the night of the shooting there that killed five people. And one performer worked at both Club Q and at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, where a gunman killed 49 people in 2016. Collectively, Committee understands the anti-drag hate firsthand. This week, I sat down with the president of Committee's board, a DC-based drag artist named Black Dynamite. That's BD for short. We get into committee's call to action, point by point, and so much more. Let's get into our conversation. Remember, you're listening to This Way Out.
BD, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
First and foremost, I want to start from the beginning. How did committee come to fruition?
Well, a friend of mine, Scott Simpson, he has been in the activism, you know, circles in DC for a long time. And he was just seeing, you know, like we all were that are a part of the queer community, or we're seeing drag being just outright attacked, you know, being protested. There have been threats, you know, bomb threats on many of these events. And he saw, you know, there's something that can be done here. So he contacted me, as you know, I'm one of the closest performers to him and somebody with a lot of experience in the city, and, you know, prompted me with this idea. And he was like, what do you think? Do you think we could do this? And I said, yeah, I think not only can we do this, but it's definitely necessary. It's definitely time to do something to help organize.
Yeah. Right from the jump on the call to action, it stated drag is joy, but it is under attack.
Yeah. That's exactly what directly influenced this, this type of organization. Really what we want to do is just kind of, you know, we see all these things happening in separate communities.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we can connect these communities with the next community. So, you know, the one thing that happens when you're attacked is that you feel alone. You feel like this is only happening to you, you know, or it's only happening in your small community. And it's not, you know, it's happening across the globe. It's happening across the country. And we want to make sure that those that it's happening to know that, one, they're not alone. And two, that there are resources that they can do, that they can use to help fight back, to help defend themselves.
I want to talk about your four objective points with committee, which I think is really important, just to lay it out. Fight back hard against violence, threats, doxing, and harassment. I don't think a lot of people understand the extent at which people really convey their hate. For those who aren't aware, what is doxing?
Doxing is basically when someone, usually over the internet, they decide to go through all your social medias, they go through all your accounts, your emails, whatever, and they find all of your social medias, your accounts and things, and they put all of your information out there. So they, you know, especially for some of these performers, you know, we go by stage names for the anonymity. Yeah. If someone wants to dox a person that's a drag performer, they'll find their real name, they'll find their address, they'll find their cell phone number, they'll even find their place of business, place of work, and just put all of that out on the internet just for the purpose of, you know, antagonization.
Another thing that you've listed out here, provide legal aid, therapy, and community support to artists targeted for hate, help artists get what they deserve from venue and navigate the business of drag, which I think is not talked about that much. I understand that artists, drag artists participating in a club system aren't really compensated for their time or performance at all.
That's correct. You know, it really depends on, it's like any freelance gig, you know, in my daily life outside of drag. You know, I'm very aware of how freelancing works. I was once a freelancer for my industry. And, you know, that particular world is can be very unstable if you don't have connections. And it's hard to make connections because those doors are often, like, you know, it's often gate kept. For drag, you know, you're making your own deals. You're signing your own contracts, essentially, with these venues and bars. And depending on the relationship that you have with the bar owners, with the managers, with the staff, that pretty much determines how much you get paid. Yeah. So if somebody does not value what it is you do, you know, let's say it's not a traditional drag, or it doesn't look like what it looks like on RuPaul's Drag Race, you're more than likely not going to make Mark great. Because they just don't understand. You know, and it's we hope to be an organization that can make performers aware and kind of give them, you know, teach them the ropes on how it is to market themselves and how to have these negotiations with venues and bar owners.
And that leads into the last item listed here, protecting our right to perform and to be our incredible selves. You mentioned different forms of drag artistry. I find it really awesome that all of you are coming together in order to list these experiences in full and say, this is what we go through. Have you received support since releasing your open letter?
Yeah, we have. From, you know, drag artists that I'm personally close with, as well as artists from across the country and people that are in support of drag. You know, they think, you know, wow, this is a very good idea. This is something that's like sorely needed. And especially, you know, for the outliers of drag, you know, artists express themselves the way that they want to express themselves.
Yeah.
And that is not always commercial. And especially since we have these, you know, these shows, these reality shows that are trying to be a standard of drag. I don't even think they're trying to be a standard. They just ended up being a standard. That kind of creates an environment for otherness. We've gotten responses that feel like a sigh of relief for some of these artists that aren't necessarily doing things that are considered traditionally drag, you know.
I know that drag is in this commercial era, but inherently it's been said before that drag is political. And if not political, heavily politicized. Do you find politics to be at the center of what drag is?
I mean, it's hard not to being in DC.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Being a drag artist in Washington, DC, you know. In my experience, we try to stay away from anything that's blatantly political, or at least I do in my own artistry. But my very existence ends up being political. So it's par for the course. You know, it just comes with the job. I've seen outside of Washington, D.C., drag is very much political. It's, you know, either, you know, obviously political with its message, or just, you know, could be subtly political with the person that is performing. You know, I think creativity kind of, you know, you could have either or. It can go either way with that. And whether or not people decide to engage based on politics is up to the audience. Ultimately, at the end of the day,
I want to take a moment to talk about your role in committee and specifically your drag artistry. Kings are often awarded less opportunity in comparison to queens.
And I've had this conversation over the years, being an artist that performs in a more masculine center. You know, it's just a different type of art.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any more or less risky than, you know, doing queen drag.
Yeah.
I think if you're doing it right, you're, you know, subverting stereotypes, you're, you know, making people think about what gender actually is.
Yeah.
And if it makes them uncomfortable, then they want to, you know, try and put it in a box or try to explain it away. We've been around as long as the queens have.
Yeah,
I like to say that we've been doing our job so well that you didn't even know what you were looking at. you know, and it's just we have a different energy about our artistry, but it's no less valid than any other form of marriage.
What are the next steps for committee? Where do you hope to see your organization?
Right now, and I think for the majority of the rest of the year, we are just trying to gather support and gather members. We want everybody to know that we are here and we're here as a resource. But for the most part, we want anybody who can help, you know, to come through and please offer support and in any way that you can. In the future, we would like to have more systems in place to respond to, let's say, protests or, you know, any issues that may arise at any particular drag shows or venues. We want to be able to have the ability to mobilize if we need to.
Yeah.
You know, because showing up in numbers is always, you know, always better for morale. It's always better for whatever is happening there. You know, if you have people backing you, it's a little less stressful to get your point across. I'm very much aware that organizations like this evolve. They need to evolve. And, you know, my position, you know, I'm technically president, but I'm not the front, you know.
Yeah.
I want to be able to put people ahead of me that are doing the work, you know, elevate their voices, and just, you know, be there to help. Drag needs our help. You know, it's regardless of what you may see on TV, there's still a lot of artists out here that have not gotten the exposure that they deserve. And part of that is because they don't have a safe place to do so. So we want to be able to move towards having safe spaces, safer spaces, for drag artists to express their art.
BD, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Since our interview, Committee has launched a petition and call to action urging the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Homeland Security to publicly commit to monitoring all threats to Pride and drag events. For more information on Committee, you can visit their website at committee.com. That's Committee with a Q. You can also connect with them on social media, at Committee on IG, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X, formerly known as Twitter. Thank you to BD for their time. And thank you for listening. A special thanks to those listening in Missoula, Montana via KFGM 101.5 FM. Hello, and happy Pride from California. And to everyone listening, tell us what Pride means to you by sending an email or voice memo to info@thiswayout.org. That's info@thiswayout.org. Include your name, where you're from, and what Pride means to you. Music featured is by Ketza. And this feature was produced by me. Next week, Pride is a Party. We're celebrating LGBTQ+ musicianship with artist Carolyn Kingsbury. Here's a taste of her newest single, Our House. I'm Daniel Wasillas. Take care and take pride.
Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by John Dyer V and Sarah Montague, and produced by Brian DeShazer, with production assistance by Daniel Luisias, the producer of this week's special Pride feature. You heard music by Paul Simon, Ketza, and Carolyn Kingsbury. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Thanks also to Los Angeles cannabis provider MMD Shops for being a This Way Out Pride partner. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lisha Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on KICI Iowa City, Iowa, Lofty FM Adelaide Hills, South Australia, WRWK Midlothian, Virginia, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay prideful.